Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Marksans Pharma Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Marksans Pharma's Q1 FY 2026 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. On the call today, we have representing Marksans Pharma Management, Mr. Mark Saldanha, Founder, Chairman, and Managing Director, and Mr. Jitendra Sharma, Chief Financial Officer. I'll hand over the call to the management team to make the opening comments, and we'll open the floor for questions. Please go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Nitin. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. We sincerely appreciate your interest and continued support for the company. Reflecting on Q1 FY 2026, the quarter was seasonally soft, driven primarily by seasonal contraction in demand across our key markets in the U.S. and U.K. In the U.K. specifically, we experienced high single-digit price erosion in a few products. We responded proactively and launched four high-margin liquid products in the U.K. These launches are a part of our conscious effort to strengthen our portfolio and insulate us better for pricing pressure. We are already witnessing early signs of demand recovery in Q2. We believe the momentum will strengthen as the year progresses. Our profitability was impacted by a few non-recurring factors, including integration-related expenses, a one-time provision in the emerging market division, and foreign exchange volatility. These are transitional in nature and do not detract anything from the fundamental trajectory of our business. Strategically, we accelerated shipments to the U.S. ahead of the anticipated tariff implications, helping us de-risk certain potential disruptions and secure supply continuity for our customers. This front-loading impacted the working capital cycle, which stood at 159 days for the quarter. We are pleased to report that the newly facility in Goa is structurally near ready. We are now focused on enhancing operational efficiencies and scaling capacity to support multi-dosage manufacturing forms of tablet, capsules, liquid, creams, ointments, and more. On the regulatory front, we have received an EIR from the U.S. FDA for the inspection conducted at our subsidiary, Timecap Laboratories. We also continue to make good progress on our product pipeline. During the quarter, we have received three regulatory approvals from the U.S. FDA and U.K. MHRA and successfully launched four high-margin products in the U.K. These are all in line with our strategy of building a more diversified and margin-accretive portfolio. Our strategy focus remains consistent: to emerge as a trusted, reliable partner in the global consumer healthcare space. This is being driven through our strategic five pillars of OTC expansion, strengthening our product pipeline, capacity augmentation, strategic front-end acquisition, and delivering sustainable and responsible growth. Looking ahead, we remain steadfast in our commitment to deliver a superior long-term value to all our stakeholders. Driven by strong operational execution, a robust product pipeline, and an enhanced capacity offered by our new facility in Goa, we are confident in our ability to navigate any challenges that may arise in the coming quarters through disciplined execution and strategic agility. With this, I'd like to turn it over to Jitendra for an update on the financials.
Thank you, sir. In Q1 of FY 2026, our operating revenue stood at rupees 620 crore, an increase of 5% year-on-year compared to rupees 590.6 crore in the same quarter last year, Revenue from the US and North America markets stood at Rs. 327.6 crores, an increase of 30.6% on a year-on-year basis, driven mainly by growth from new product launches in digestives, pain management segments. UK and EU formulation recorded revenue of 203.8 crores. Australia and New Zealand market recorded revenue of Rs. 57 crores. The rest of the world revenue grew to Rs. 31.6 crores. Gross profit was at Rs. 358.2 crores, up 8.9% year-on-year. Gross margin expanded by 209 basis points, from 55.7% to 57.8% in Q1 of FY26. Gross margin improved due to liquidation of high-cost inventories and benefits from softening input costs. We recorded EBITDA of Rs. 100.1 crore in Q1 of FY26. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 16.1%, a decrease of 560 basis points from last year. This decline is due to an increase in employee expenses from the additional recruitment of the new facility, along with one-time expected credit loss provision for the emerging market division of Rs. 10.48 crores. Additionally, softer demand during the quarter resulted in lower than expected operating leverage. Profit after tax was at Rs. 58.2 crores, a decrease of 34.7% year-on-year. The decline in net profit was due to EBITDA impact and a mark-to-market forex loss of Rs. 6.2 crore. EPS for the quarter was Rs. 1.3. In Q1 FY26, the cash from operation came in at Rs. 48.7 crores. The capex during the period was Rs. 37.8 crores. We spent Rs. 12.1 crore in R&D in Q1, which amounts to 2% of the consolidated revenue. We continue to remain debt-free, and the cash balance stood at Rs. 711 crores as of 30th June 2025. With this, I would like to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use a handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Ahmed Mada with Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the UK business. Can you explain a little better in detail in terms of what led to 20% degrowth year-on-year, apart from the points you mentioned? If you can explain it in a little elaborate manner, it will help. This first question. Second question, in terms of gross margins improvement, can you explain a little better what has led to the gross margin improvement and how do we see on an annual basis in terms of gross margin trajectory? Thirdly, on the Teva facility, can you spell out the number of capacity utilization for Q1 compared to what it was in Q4 and how do you see the ramp up of capacities?
Hi, Ahmed. Thank you. Addressing your UK concerns, so basically, unlike historic numbers of UK for the past 2-3 years, obviously the UK numbers were subdued on two counts. One was obviously seasonality. The first quarter season is normally always the weakest compared to rest of the years. Second is the price erosion that we have witnessed, which has been a bit abnormal due to possibly various circumstances. One, again, having a cascading impact, which is spills down from the tariff situation in the U.S., where, uncertainty of tariff has basically slowed down demand in the U.S., thereby companies having a relook and refocus into different geographies for getting their revenues. So we have witnessed heavy pricing erosions happening in the UK and basically pricing being thrown from probably the top 20 Indian companies out here and again to generate revenue and sales. Unlike the US, the UK, our portfolio is 60% OTC and 40% RX. And in as you always know, the RX is highly volatile in terms of demand and supply. And presently, there is oversupply and less demand, which factors in from the global scenario stemmed from the tariff situations. So we are seeing price erosions happening, which was abnormal, which basically UK has never seen to this level. And this coupled with the seasonality factor being being the summer season and being quite warm, obviously this was this had both coupled into the results that we are seeing today. That said and done, the second quarter will be better than the first quarter, and the third quarter will be better than the second quarter, and so on. So we do plan to basically we are optimistic on displaying better numbers in the coming quarters. But yeah, the first quarter was below expectation from UK, and that is I think pretty much out of anyone's control right now. The gross margin, the Teva facility that we spoke of, the Teva facility, we are now trending at very close to 500 crores. I think in the Q1, we were trending more towards 400 crores. So there has been a better utilization from the Teva facility in the Q1 compared to the Q4. The gross margin increase is again the lowering of raw material cost. Initially, we were holding higher material inventory cost, which once depleted, the lower cost came into play, resulting in a better gross margin onto the product portfolios that we saw.
Got it. I have two follow-up questions. Based on pricing pressure, are you suggesting high competition intensity in the UK business? And secondly, is it that we are sitting with some inventory in the UK warehouse, in our UK subs?
So inventory, we always sit with inventory, but from a competition point of view, no, I don't see more competitors coming in, but I do see a lot of desperate selling happening. And this, I believe this this could be, like I mentioned, a cascading effect where, companies have decided to refocus their attention into different geographies due to the uncertainties of the global tariffs that are going on. And in that desperation, since US was not yielding, was not yielding that results, companies tended to offload or get revenue in other markets, which have resulted in heavy price erosion happening out there.
Got it. From that perspective, for a US business, I think we were mentioning around $200 million order book. So how is that order book shaping up, and are there any change in timeline of execution of the order book which we had mentioned earlier?
No, so our order book stands at 220 million today. Out of that, nearly 45 to 50 million of that will, the execution will start in the month of October, November, December, based on the artworks and the approvals and everything of that stuff. So obviously a substantial amount of 40 to 50 million will not, you'll not see a full year or revenue arising in the year, but that said and done, US will grow. Our contracts are in place. We do not have any pricing or volatility that you experience in UK, and that prima facie is because 90% of our business in US is OTC and 10% is RX. So the volatility is very restricted more towards RX than into OTC per se. So our contracts are intact. So far, we've been fortunate that pharmaceutical is still exempted from the tariffs. So we do not see an impact, but uncertainty is definitely never a good thing, because any new contracts, any more awards, all the buyers are waiting to see whether there will be a tariff implication or no. and you know, and since every now and then the timelines of tariffs are changing, oh well, it's going to be, it was supposed to be in July, it was supposed to be in 1st of August, 8th of August, so everyone says wait, we wait and watch, because the last thing they want is to award more contracts and then after 2 months come back and you know, and us coming back and saying, well, now the tariffs have come and now the price has changed and we have to reinvent the cycle and come up with a new contract. So so that uncertainty, that visibility will come more when tariffs outplay itself, but it has dragged for the last 3 months because of no clarity of tariffs. While India has been slapped with a 50% tariff, we are fortunate that pharmaceutical has not been impacted on those tariffs. And but we are seeing the goods, we are seeing essential items, whether it's groceries or other essential items, cost going up. So consumers tend to basically be more reserved and careful in their spending, because obviously they have to allocate resources to essentials more than to commodities or luxury. So even you have restaurants that are now facing downturn of people, because people would prefer, would need to spend more on groceries than on eating outside, or, and the same way for medicinal, and so buying 100 count, they probably settle for a 24 count. So you, when you see something of the tariffs outplaying, although may, we may not be directly impacted, indirectly it has some impact, hairline impact on the demand situation in the market, you know, and it has then a cascading impact globally, because companies tend to look at different geographies to compensate their revenue drop.
Yeah. Thank you for the detailed explanation. My last piece on the gross margin front again. So if I look at in the context of lower input cost, and you have already kept inventory in US, front loaded inventory. So is it fair to assume that we will have a similar gross margin as Q1 for the balance quarters, or you would like to give a broad range?
No, I think we will, gross margins will continue to be healthy. We are optimizing our U.S. operations in terms of, you know, in our U.S. facility, we import, we manufacture products, and a lot of raw materials are imported from China, which basically has tariffs right now. So we are paying 20% tariffs on raw materials. So basically, U.S. has become more expensive to manufacture in U.S. than in India. And hence, you know, we always explore to leverage low cost base whichever way it is potential. So we are working on the product mix to avoid that tariff implications on raw materials originating out of China. That will take another couple of months. So definitely from the third quarter, you will see better bottom lines also coming from the U.S. Overall, U.S., if you compare year on year, first, obviously you can never compare the first quarter to the third or fourth quarter, because those are the strongest peak seasons. So you can never, I've always said our business does not revolve around quarter, it revolves year on year basis. So because seasonal impacts do have, cannot be ignored on a quarter on quarter basis. But if you look at it on a year on year basis, the US did grow by 30% over last year.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan with ASK NDPMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So just, you know, going a little deeper on the price erosion in the US, you mentioned that 40% of the business is RX. And, you know, if I see the press release, it talks about high single digit erosion. I mean, the magnitude either on a Q-on-Q basis, or even if I assume that there is, you know, seasonality, the year-on-year, I'm basically seeing a 50 crore drop. But if I assume that, you know, 50% of, you know, the 40% sales or 45% sales in UK, the number seems to be very different. Is there anything else that, you know, is basically driving a little bit more drop than, you know, probably one would have expected even assuming this price erosion?
No, so I said there are two counts. One is obviously when you look at it from the season point of view, there is a lull season in 40%, and then coupled with price erosion happening. The price erosion happens on RX, it can happen dramatically where all of a sudden quite a few products would not be viable because of the price erosion. So your revenue would drop accordingly, and so will your margins drop proportionately. So profitable products will become not so profitable because of price erosion, and revenue dropping means we decided not to probably sell half a dozen or more products because of the pricing pressures that are happening. So it has to be looked in overall. One is obviously the season was warmer and was worse than the previous year season. But that previous year season didn't have pricing pressures and global phenomena like tariffs. While out here, uncertainties and tariffs led to a much bigger cascading impact in UK than in the US or anywhere else.
Sure, sir. And the four products that you have launched now should basically, you know, kind of bridge the gap, you know, between what happened last year and probably, you know, what we saw in the first quarter as we progressively, you know, move forward.
Yes, so
yeah, I mean, if you can share more on what are these products, I mean, you know, how big they can be in terms of bridging the gap.
They are quite decent. So technically, obviously, bridging the gap, when you say bridging the gap, obviously a quarter is over. So the first quarter is over. But if you look at our second quarter, the numbers will be much better than the first quarter, and the third will be better than the second quarter, and the fourth will be between the second and the third quarter. That's how the seasonality outplays in UK. But definitely, I think the first quarter is a one-off scenario, not in comparison to quarter-on-quarter basis, but in comparison to historic numbers. Definitely, the quarter was subdued in UK. So, but these new products will add more towards the bottom line than the top line. So, you will see better profitability arising because these are more high value products and not high volume products per se. So, you will see better profitability arising in the second quarter, much better rising in the third quarter compared to the first quarter, and thereby recovering to some extent.
Sure, sir. And with respect to Australia and New Zealand, I mean, that was primarily inventory, and that should, you know, get back, right, from the second quarter?
Yeah, that should come back, and Australia is very reversed. In the first quarter is winter out there while we have a summer. We look at their last quarter, a lot of their winter sales, most of the retailers, they lift stocks before the winter, the Q4. They lift up their stocks before the winter season starts. They don't wait for the season to start and then do sales. So most of the retailers, if you look at the Q4 number, is higher than the Q1 number. And that resulted in a bit of a lull where Q1 is concerned.
Yes, sir. So one final question is, you know, when we look at, you know, the glass half full rather than glass half empty, you know, the gross margin expansion is quite favorable for, you know, the raw material, you know, prices coming down, the mix is improving, etc. And this would kind of move forward. So, I mean, if I'm structurally looking at your margins, I mean, where we were, you know, probably towards 20% to high teens, and I mean, just fast forwarding beyond the issues that you're seeing, and the moment we reach a certain scale as some of the product picks up, should our margin profile be much, much better than what we were, say, a year ago?
I would love to be optimistic, but you know, the global scenario is such where pricing pressure is there in certain markets. I mean, UK itself constitutes 40+%, 40 to 45% of our revenue. So we cannot ignore a market of that size having pricing pressure. So, you know, from a margin standpoint of view, EBITDA margin point of view, we will improve quarter on quarter. But year on year, I think it will be more flattish, you know, somewhere around there.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll join back.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Pal with MSA Capital's partner. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So just wanted to double-click on the previous, your response to the previous participant's question that our UK market has a 60-40 split in favor of OTC. So how are we, because when we talk about US margins and pricing pressure not being there because of the favorable OTC mix, how are we going towards making the OTC mix higher in the UK market? Because as I believe that would protect our margins and would help us at least not face pricing pressures from the competition.
That is going to be difficult in UK because historically, obviously, UK has a, you know, in most of the countries, we adopted different strategies to get, you know, to get a strong foothold and create a presence in the market. UK, we had a very balanced portfolio of 50% OTC, 50% RX, and we've got over 300 plus market authorizations both put together. US, obviously, we have a smaller portfolio compared to UK, but US, we had to basically adopt a different strategy. We were very late entrance into the US. So we looked at the window of opportunity and created a niche and an identity for ourselves. Coming back to UK, RX is a very important portfolio, and we are increasing our product portfolio in RX to much more complex molecules and much more niche molecules, which are more value drivers than volume drivers. So if you look at our portfolio maybe 1 year down the line or 1.5 year down the line, our portfolio will be much more robust and profitable because of the RX portfolio. That said and done, the inherent challenges of RX will always remain, but we have to just grow out of that. The historic products of RX will definitely be more volatile, and the newer molecules will be much more profitable. So I guess we have to just stay one step ahead of the curve. This phenomenon that we are witnessing, you know, one has to understand, is probably never seen before. In the US, when you talk of tariffs, the tariffs have been probably the worst since the Great Depression, 1929. So technically, you know, the tariffs are even worse than the Great Depression of 1929, so no one could foresee that. So these are cascading impacts that are happening globally. But we would recover a lot of lost ground. Our business model is still intact. We are still focusing on new product approvals and launches. And we will grow stronger and we'll come out of this phase.
Got it. So a couple of quarters back, not even a couple, last year, 25 Q1, we had said that the target for 26 is that we will reach a revenue of 3,000 crores. And listening to your response to the previous participant that the margins would be low. So is it fair to say that we would not touch 3,000 crores, but be closer to 3,000 crores this year because of the entire tariff scenario uncertainty, and because of that, the cascading problems in our existing markets?
I think you've summarized it well. We should be very close to 3,000 crores, or we'll be shy away from 3,000 crores. But again, in the overall picture, we will still grow over the last year. But yeah, from a 3,000, we may be shy of that.
Understood. So a more strategic question. So, how are we thinking in terms of diversifying our revenues to you? Because for the last couple of quarters, we have been talking about acquisition, but not being able to find one. Does it not make sense to start at least expanding in the European market organically?
Well, organically it's a very diversified market, but we are looking at now launching organically in Germany. But it's a medium to long-term objective when you start organically. Inorganically helps a better stronghold and foothold faster, and we can use it as a launching pad. But that would have been ideal case scenario. But that said and done, we are looking at an organic exploration into these markets. Focus is going on various fronts, not only Europe but also looking at India as a market. And let's not ignore that we have to safeguard our position, market share in the US too. And we will do what is needed. If tariffs do not play as per our expectation, we'll have to do what is needed to ensure we basically continue our growth path and definitely try to retain market share that we have worked out so hard for.
Understood. So just last question. So now, obviously, there are no tariffs on pharmaceutical products in the US, but say in a case where tariffs on pharmaceutical products come, are there safeguard measures in our contracts where at least some part of the tariffs can be passed on to the customer?
Yeah, I mean, see, the tariffs work as a force majeure. So technically, all our customers are aware that if tariffs do come and it is something which is abnormal, if it is a small amount, it's okay, but if it is abnormally high, then we will have to go back to the customer and say and put it forth. Obviously, we are optimistic and we are hopeful that our government reaches to some understanding with the US government so that the impact is minimized to whatever level. But that said and done, we are working on different strategies. If the tariffs are high and it is not only going to the retailer and asking them for price increase, because we have secured contracts till 2027, and the minute you go and ask them for a price revision, you are opening that contract up. That's something which is double-edged sword always. But that said and done, all the retailers are understandable. They all have the same fear of tariffs, and they're all hoping that the tariffs don't come into play, because if it does come into play, it's not going to be a surprise to them. If you go back and tell them now, price has to be adjusted because of the tariffs.
Understood. Wishing you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Maitri Seth with Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
I just have one question. Most of my other questions have already been answered. On the Europe and UK business, now that we are seeing some pricing pressures and uncertainty, expect continued mid double digit growth, mid teens growth, or should we look at it like a high single or low double digit growth going forward?
Sorry, which market are you talking of, as a company, or you're talking of UK by itself?
For the company, for our UK and Europe region.
For the UK market, you're talking of. So yes. I believe it will be flattish.
Okay. All right, answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Deepesh Sancheti with Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just wanted to understand, how will the India-UK FTA work for us in the long term?
Sorry.
That's zero impact.
Zero impact. Okay. And this quarter, we saw a lot of selling from OrbiMed, whom we had given the shares on preferential. Have they discussed with the management about an exit strategy, and are they still on our board?
They are still on our board. They have not discussed anything where that is concerned. It was their call, maybe for tariff reasons or whatever. We don't know, but they have not discussed this with us.
Okay. And how much of the profit was actually impacted by one of... you were saying something. I'm sorry.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. How much of the profit this quarter was impacted due to one-time expenses? I mean, you mentioned about the ECL provisions and other things, but how much of it is one-time and how much can be recurring?
Yeah, hi Dipesh. This is Jitendra here. So as as we have stated in the presentation, so there were two items. One was the ECL provision, which we have made in receivables of 10.48 crores. And there was one mark-to-market provision of 6.2 crore, which we have made. And this has come from the forward contracts, which we have taken for GBP exports to UK. So in UK, the last year GBP was at 105, and we have done some forward selling of GBP, for up to 109, 110 levels. But this year, GBP has outperformed, and it is hovering around 117, 118 right now. So there is some mark-to-market which has come in the June numbers. So these are the two items which are kind of one-offs which we had in this quarter. And we don't expect, our receivables are pretty clean. Most of the receivables are from subsidiary companies only and top customers. So this is the only item which we had coming from our emerging market division. So broadly, we don't see any more sticky receivable in our books.
You also mentioned about the higher employee cost due to new hires in the acquired facilities. Will that be recurring?
No, it is now, of course, it has. So this is, if you compare year-on-year number, but now, of course, in terms of the hiring, we are not having any more additional hirings. So the employee costs and other expenses which you are seeing in this quarter, we don't see these two items going up any further from here.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mit Raj with Equirus PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is again on the margins. So in this quarter, if we exclude the impact of ECL provision, we had roughly 17.8% margin. And in one of the earlier answers, you mentioned that QOQ margins will improve from here on. So just wanted to understand that margins for remaining three quarters would be higher than current 17.8%. And second, is 20% plus margin doable in FY27?
It is a bit difficult right now to give a margin guidance. Definitely our objective here is to see, number one, to ensure how can we sustain our margins, which we had till last year. So that's the priority right now for us. Definitely the pricing pressure in UK has softened the margin a bit. So I think we should be somewhere between last year margin and, the 17% what you are calculating. So we should be somewhere in between that.
For FY27 as well?
No, this is for current year. For FY27, again, it's a bit early to give any guidance.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just to understand a scenario where there is adverse tariff, in that case, do we get benefit by having manufacturing capacity in US through time caps? Is it meaningful? And as of now, how much of our manufacturing is happening in US and how much is happening in India and maybe some in UK also?
So in India, our revenue from a revenue point standpoint of view, about 35% to 40% around is manufactured in US. The rest is manufactured in India. From today, as on today, India is more viable because of few of the items which are which we manufacture in the US are imported raw materials, are imported from China where we pay tariffs. But just answering your question, will we benefit having a platform in the US? Of course, we will benefit to some extent. Again, depending on what the tariffs are going to out, the quantum of tariff is a universal question. What is the tariff? What amount of tariff? Is it single digits, double digits? To what level is it going to go to? That is uncertain. And based on that, when that unfolds, then I think based on when that unfolds, then we have to take concrete steps to retain our position and grow based on our objectives, what growth plans we have for the U.S. But today, it does not make sense for us to panic because literally, I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And based on that, we have to be we have to wait and watch as to how things are unfolded. Because if tomorrow India does strike a better deal, and we are very optimistic on that, then taking panic steps may backfire big time on us. So whether we have to expand a facility out there, whether we have to continue with what we are doing, whether we have to leverage low-cost manufacturing from India. So these uncertainties are the ones that are most unpredictable and difficult to answer. And I guess the market is, we don't have a crystal ball, so the market is basically wait and watch, watching on what will unfold tomorrow.
See, I would like to add here that, our balance sheet is pretty strong. And in case if there is need to do additional investments in US, we definitely will not shy away from doing that. So that way we are very well equipped and geared. And depending on the circumstances, need, we will take the next steps.
My question was from the perspective of, do we have a hedge in terms of having capacity in US? My question was from that standpoint.
So we have capacity in US, but it cannot compensate because we have a very diversified portfolio out here in India that we service in US, starting from RX to different dosage forms. US, it's only a solid oral dosage form that we have. So technically, while we may benefit from a part of it, we would not be able to benefit fully from it.
That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Rao with KNR Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I just wanted to ask, how much is the revenue contribution from Seva facility currently and what kind of growth do we expect in FY26?
So, like I answered, in the last quarter, we were trending more towards 400 odd crores. This quarter, we are trending more towards 500 crores. So, technically, I would say we have another 40% utilization that we can do. Our aim is to go towards 800 odd crores from the facility. So, we have potential of growth, and again, this is happening month on month basis. We are itching forward on that.
Got it, sir. So one more question I have in mind is Australia and New Zealand. I just wanted to check how this market is expected to perform in the coming quarter.
It will be it will be the flattish in terms of what it's historically done. It will show a nominal growth, but technically overall year on year, it's difficult to talk about quarter on quarter, but year on year we will definitely show a better number than the previous year.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
I thank you all for your continued interest and support for our company. I wish you a very good evening and a safe day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Marksans Pharma, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.